You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Yee-haw! That's better. Welcome, it's Dave's Corner Garage, another suitably live program brought to you by Dave's Corner Garage on Facebook, facebook.com/Dave's Corner Garage. See a good commercial? Three times you announce it within a few seconds. That's a good commercial. So what station is this? AM 740. Okay, today we've got a big lineup for you. We have the folks from Young Steels Motors with us. We have Gagan Nivani and, I won't say his boss, but Samit Kapoor is also here. He's one of the managers from the station. And let me think now. You have three stores.
Correct.
Right. First one is
Young Steels Ford Lincoln.
Right.
Eastcourt Ford Lincoln.
Right.
And Meadowvale Ford.
Right. So you got three areas of the city covered.
East, West, Central.
It's a good area. And Ford's a fine product. I've had one for now, I think almost 5 years. Never an issue, nothing. It's just a great little machine.
Really build them tough.
Yeah, built tough is true. And we have with us, not to say the least, Brian Max. And Brian Max is a secret agent. That's what he writes on his...
That's what it says on my LinkedIn. But really, I just drive fast cars all around the world.
You also do some racing, right? We did the Nissan series last year.
Yeah, I did the Nissan Micro Cup, and I've raced all sorts of, like, Pirelli World Challenge and raced Vipers and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Is it coming back this year? Are you doing anything this year?
I'm going to race some endurance, long-distance racing later this year. I've got some projects to finish first.
Paper last night, what was his, John Bundar.
Yes.
They bought Shannonville Raceway.
Yeah, and that's great news. John is doing great things for sports car racing in Canada, and they've bought Shannonville, and they're going to reinvigorate that place and turn it into a real destination.
Yeah, you know, things such as condos for guys that are into cars.
Yeah.
You know, you have a fast car downstairs, you have a place upstairs to relax and friends. And
it's a beautiful part of the world, too. Prince Edward County is a great spot for you know, wine and all that stuff.
And the Touring Car Championship there, and just you go to Gananoque is not far.
That's right.
So you can do a little vacation. They always tell me if the wife's not happy, soon you're not happy.
I've heard that, too.
So we're going to be talking about the new Ford Mach-E. That's
the Mustang Mach-E.
That's coming out. The 770 horsepower Mustang, the GT500 that's there. And something new that came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago was the Escape, all redesigned.
2020 Escape.
Yeah. So we should be talking about when those cars are coming out and we'll delve into that. So remember, if you want to follow us on Facebook, we are facebook.com/Dave's Corner Garage, just as it sounds. And it's on there actually for the whole week. So if you don't see it right away, you can always boost back. We had, I think, over 7,000 views from the last one we did with our OPP specialist. What was his name, Steve?
It's still the same.
Kerry Schmidt.
Kerry Schmidt.
His parents would be nice to know that he hasn't lost his name yet.
And we'll be back in just a minute. Hey, we're back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. My name's Dave Redinger. I'm with Gagan Nivani, Brian Max, and Sumit Kapoor. Correct? Good enough?
Yes, sir.
Good enough. Ford has just brought out a new product called the Mustang Mach-E, which is electrical. What can you tell us about it?
Well, it's a phenomenal product. Ford is going all electric with this car. And it starts at a basic level of, let's say, select model goes as high as a performance edition. You have a big range of 255 horsepower. You can go as high as 469 horsepower in different models. Price range of mid-50s to low-80s, full electric. Now, a wide range of kilometers you can cover. You can cover from 375 kilometers up to 475 kilometers on full charge.
That's what I do in my week, right?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, what's happening right now, we were talking about this, the electric charging network is developing right now. So this whole concept of range anxiety is going to disappear. because you can charge quickly. They're going to have fast charging stations all over the place.
Yep, and Ford is coming out with a different kind of a plan. Ford is partnering with a company called Electrify America. I don't know if you've heard about the company. That company is going to work on building a charging network for Ford and other companies that they want to, you know, give their services out to. So Ford is not going to develop their charging network on their own. They're partnering it with Electrify America.
But that Mustang Mach-E is a beautiful machine. I got to spend some time with it at the auto show.
Yep.
And it is a fantastic looking thing inside and out.
Yeah, it's nicer inside and out. It doesn't show as well on the paper.
No.
Then the print doesn't show it as well as it is looks.
Yeah, in person it's great, and it's got all those Mustang styling cues. I think it's a real Mustang and has the performance to back it up.
It's got the DNA of a Mustang.
That's right. And what kind of performance, what kind of 0-60 does that do?
You are, as per Ford numbers, which are official numbers, they're targeting mid 3-second range on the Performance GT Edition, 0 to 60.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. To be precise, it's 3.4 seconds. Wow.
In reality, it's 3.4 seconds to go 100 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the beauty of electric cars is that, you know, they're very quick because of their electric motors.
You have the instant torque.
Mm-hmm. Right now, so they're tight right now, right? I mean, buying one of those cars, you're basically sold out.
So we only got 25 of them. I think when they did their web launch, we had 65 emails with customers looking to reserve them. So we're sold out for the October, November, December delivery for 2020.
So we would be getting new vehicles probably by Christmas and January.
Expected plan is end of the year in showrooms.
Yeah. Interesting. So the range anxiety question isn't as strong as people think. You know,
that's absolutely true. And you know, the Mach-E has a more than enough range so that you can, you know, charge at home overnight, fully charge it overnight.
Yes.
And the best part is today home chargers are really inexpensive.
Yep.
Yeah, they're around $2,500.
$2,000, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really not a big. The big thing will be the electricity because it's 250 volts. Or 240 volts.
Yeah, 240 for a quick charger.
So 4 hours to recharge to do, right? Do you find with the Tesla product being out there that it holds its value?
Absolutely.
Are people will step up for a used electric car?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because what's out there? There's Nissan Leaf. There's the Bolt, which I think is way overpriced. I mean, it's $50,000 for a little tiny car. Yours is coming out.
Yeah.
Right? Would an interim car would be a plug-in hybrid? Would you think that might be an interim? You've got a whole line of those things.
Yeah, Fusion. We have an Escape hybrid, the 2020. We're going to talk about a little later.
Yes,
that's going to be that's in our showrooms now.
See, now that's a fantastic solution to a problem that we're trying to avoid, which is you pull up to the charging station, and there's already five guys.
You see, that's the transition phase. Right now, we are moving towards the hybrid cars and. All electric is the future.
Yes.
So Ford is coming out with the Escape Hybrid. It's on the floor right now. Explorer Hybrid will hit the floors in next couple of months, maybe a month or so. Then you have a Fusion Hybrid from, you know, last 2-3 years on the road already. And they already have in the Lincoln family, Lincoln Aviator Hybrid.
So in Europe, they're tougher than they are here. Because in Europe, they're saying, 2030, they want only electric cars being sold? So Germany, I know for sure, is 2030, you can't sell a gas-powered or diesel-powered vehicle. You're going to have to sell an electric vehicle. So you're going to see lots of cars come from Poland, the Czech, or wherever, to bring them in.
I think that's going to happen here as well. What started in Europe is they started banning internal combustion engine cars in cities.
Yes.
And they've set limits on that, and we're going to start seeing that probably soon in North America.
Fascinating.
Yep.
It's like when the gasoline-powered car came out, and we're still horse and buggies, right?
Do you remember those days, Dave?
Well, actually, I do. Spadina Avenue used to have wiretaps, half for the horse and half for you, depending on how much you were drinking.
Which one did you use?
Depending on how much you drank. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about these type of vehicles. And if you have any questions, please do call in, because here's a chance to talk to four experts on electric cars, and we know it's coming, so... Let's make advantage of our giving a good decision. We'll be right back. It's Dave's Corner Garage, live and somewhat clear.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. And Brian Max is sitting in for Alan Gelman, who's somewhere south, and we don't like him right now.
He's sunning himself.
Brian, I'll leave it up to you for the next step. Go ahead, bud.
Well, we're here with Gagan Navani and Samit Kapoor. with young Steeles, Lincoln, and Ford. So if you have any questions about Ford or Lincoln, please give us a call.
All righty. One of the things, though, there was in the news lately is Cadillac actually opened up a virtual showroom over the internet where you can actually talk to somebody that, wants more and more information. But you have that, too. You've got Lincoln and Lincoln and Ford in the same building.
Correct. It's a shared space just separated by a wall. So we have probably 35% of our showroom dedicated to Lincoln, and the rest is Ford.
And you are the largest Lincoln dealer.
Yes, we're the number one Lincoln dealer in the GTA.
Now, one thing I did notice when I got on your site, you actually can talk to a representative because there's a chat box there.
Absolutely. So we have 24/7 live. So a lot of customers, their buying strategies are typically after 10 p.m. in the evening. So our dealership closes at 9 Monday through Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have live chat. That way we can respond to their questions first thing in the morning.
Brian, you had a question?
I just think this new Lincoln Aviator that's coming out, the hybrid, because it's a more of a performance SUV. So, I mean, what can you tell us about that?
615 pound-feet of torque.
That's a great number.
The maximum number in its class. That car flies.
So that's for towing and that's for hauling, and you can put stuff behind. And on the weekend, you can be a cowboy.
So what Lincoln's perspective was while building that car, they wanted to use the electric motor not to save the energy for, you know, everything, but they wanted to use that electric power towards the performance of the car. So they channeled it into the torque. So that's why the car has 400 horsepower and 615 pound-feet of torque.
Now, you've got an electric F-150 coming out.
It's kind of a...
With Rivian.
It's kind of a... So Ford has a stake in that company, Rivian. Ford invested close to $500 million in that company. And Ford is going step by step. So first step is to build a hybrid truck, not all electric. We are expecting Ford to release something in 2021 model F-150. It'll be a hybrid truck so that people can start trusting the electric capabilities in pickup trucks.
Yes.
And once they are sure about it, by 2023, we expect Ford to come out with an all-electric truck, which might have a towing capacity of more than 1 million pounds.
Whoa! I saw a picture of one pulling a train.
Yes.
Yeah. Or planes. They do all kinds of crazy things with those. What I find interesting is Ford's investment with Rivian, which is a company that not many people have heard
of.
Ford's made a significant investment in this EV truck company called Rivian, and they have some cool-looking vehicles.
Yes. They're coming out with nice electric SUVs and electric pickup trucks.
Okay, we're just waiting for the phone lines to clear, but we have one call on line two. Carlos, can you put us on line two, please? Morning, John. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and yourself?
Any day you wake up is a great day. That's my philosophy.
Hey, you want to believe it. down to the car show the other day, very impressed with all the vehicles that are down there in the show in itself. But I have some grumbling questions about electricity and electric cars. And are we going to have enough electricity left over when we get all these plugged in at 7 o'clock at night, and it's a hot summer's day, and we need the air conditioners.
Yeah.
Because we're going to shut down, apparently in the next 3 or 4 years, our big nuclear plant down in Pickering. And I don't hear too much talk, although I did look at the hydrogen cars down at the
from Toyota. Yes.
Quite impressed with that, and we don't need the electricity, the extra electricity to charge them. And so I'm in between. I'm finishing off with my diesel, my little turbo diesel Volkswagen, and my Ranger truck here, and probably be looking for something on the new horizon in the future. And it sounds exciting, but I'm just wondering if we're heading the right way or we shouldn't.
Well, we've got three experts here. Let's ask them. What do you think, gentlemen?
Well, I just finished driving a performance hybrid, plug-in hybrid Volvo. And to me, that is an interesting solution right now. So this V60 Polestar engineered that I drove, not only can you plug it in, but you can also charge it while you drive. And then it drives like a hybrid as well. When you get into the city, you can drive it on pure electricity. To me, that is an interesting solution. And it's got a 11 or 12 kilowatt hour battery in it. So it doesn't take long to charge it. And you get about 20 or 30 miles on a full charge on the battery. So I think plug-in hybrid hybrids are a great solution. Sumit, you've got the Escape plug-in hybrid coming.
Of course. In the plug-in hybrids, you're not stressing about charging your car, losing the battery in it. You know if...
It'll recharge itself.
That's called regenerative braking, and then the car charges itself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Regenerative is the brakes. When you apply the brakes, it actually puts power back into the battery.
Yes.
Alrighty. If you hear that music, it means we're going to a break. We have one line open if you want to call in. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to something different. David Tate from Elegant Motoring. It's a ceramic coating that goes on the paint and protects it for life. Unless you get banged up, I guess. Who knows? We'll be right back. We have Gagani Navani here from the Big Three. I guess we're just going to call it the Big Three. East Court Ford, Young Steels Motors, and Meadowvale Ford. And one of his managers, Sumat Kapoor. I'm going to change it every time we go off break, get a new name.
That's okay.
And, of course, Brian Max. We'll be right back. Alrighty, we're back, and this time we are with David Tate. Dave is with a company called Elegant Motoring. You know, down by Queensway, across from the food terminal, you can see David's showroom down there. And what they do is they actually will coat your car with a ceramic coating that actually... David, you tell them.
A ceramic coating that actually self-heals. So all those micro marring and swirl marks that everyone hates on their black cars or dark-colored cars literally disappear in the with the heat from the sun.
So if you've got a small mark or a scuff on the bumper, it'll actually solve that problem?
Yeah, most micro marring and swirl marks cause from general washing and stuff, not necessarily a scuff. So if I hit another car or scrape a wall or something like that, there are limitations.
And Dave, how long does the coating last?
It depends on the package. They can last typically up to 7 to 10 years. The warranties, I believe, go as high as 7.
You know what I found interesting was this wasn't a one day in and out. This is a several day process.
Absolutely, yeah. You want to do a full paint correction or a high-speed polish, cut and polish before you actually do the coating. And then once you do the coating, it takes a couple of days to let it cure. We also place the car under high-powered heat lamps or IR lamps to allow the coating to cure faster so that when you take it out in the elements, so to speak, it actually works and it'll last. It'll be durable. You'll wash the car less. It'll have a higher gloss and shine, especially now coming into the spring with the sun we have out today.
Okay. Gagan, you had a question?
Yeah. Is it a similar product as Ceramic Pro?
Yeah. So we actually offer Ceramic Pro as well. Okay. Ceramic Pro has been around for... I think since 07, if I remember correctly. That product is a great product. I've been using it for 11 years or so. I was one of the founders of Ceramic Pro Canada to actually bring it up and start distributing it here.
Wow.
But now there's so many coatings on the market. This coating that I'm talking about is a Finelab product. It's actually, I would say, next generation. They've grown, the company even has grown by about 800% in the last 3 years because of the technology that they have is just, nobody can compare to it.
So do you do the whole car or you just do like front end and the door panels or something where there would be abrasion?
No, we would do the whole car. All of the painted surfaces. There are other coatings that you can put on the glass that work like Rain-X, but they last, 2-3 years, mm-hmm. As opposed to Rain-X a couple of weeks. We also have, you would want typically, if you're going to spend the money for a self-healing coating, you'd want to put a paint protection film on the front. But we could then put the coating over top of the paint protection film so to help prevent it from staining and stuff from like bird droppings, bug guts, tree sap, stuff like that.
So your typical customer is a Gagan customer with a high-end car or a Max who has a bicycle?
So to be honest with you, it's actually all over the map. Literally, we get road bikes like high-end carbon fiber bikes that come in and they get the coating on them as well. Uh-huh. But we also do get a lot of just regular cars. Today we had last week we had a Genesis in. We have a Jeep Grand Cherokee. We had a 2014 BMW 3 Series. So they're not necessarily brand new cars, but they're not necessarily, you know, also, you know, $100,000-$150,000 cars. They usually range in between $40,000-$50,000 and up. But it all depends on the customer and, you know, what they perceive as value. If they're OCD or they have a, they just love whatever they have and they have pride of ownership, those are typically the customers that will come in and use our service.
How do we get in touch with you?
Hit us up on our website, elegantmotoring.ca, or give us a call, 416-897-5675.
Yeah, I was on the site the other day, and you can actually book an appointment on the site. Pretty easy, just name, address, and phone number, and what type of service that you need. David, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Okay, good stuff. So, Elegant Motors on the Queensway, just across from
the food terminal.
The food terminal. And we're going to go to line three. Chris is on the phone, and he owned, but it's Trevor. I'm sorry.
It's Chris's brother. It's Trevor.
Trevor's on the phone. Trevor, you had a question? Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a question, and if we have time for a comment. Last year, I phoned in, asked a question about, you were talking about adaptive cruise control vehicles.
Right.
And I was wondering if, the question I asked, I didn't have an answer at the time, was a vehicle ahead of if you're driving a cruise control, vehicle with adaptive cruise control, blah, blah, blah. I got sold my tongue.
Yes.
So when that kicks in, that, you're slowing down because the vehicle ahead of you is slowing down and you don't want to crash into it. Does that activate your brake lights so the guy following you knows that you're slowing down?
Brian?
I can answer that question affirmatively. Yes, the brake lights do come on. As soon as the brakes are actuated, the brake lights do come on.
And the Cadillac has a thing called Super Cruise that keeps you within the lanes?
Yeah, Super Cruise is...
Well, you know what? Cadillacs are, some people say they're overrated, but I'm for Detroit Iron myself because I live here. So I think we should buy products that are made here.
I agree.
Although you could argue that it's made, half of it's made in China because I worked at GM. The other question, the comment I have is previously where somebody was talking about, will we have enough power to
operate
all these electric vehicles at night and everything? The answer is yes, because if you look into it deep enough, Pickering or Darlington or them combined together, there are times when they have excess power and they call up the Ohio State Electrical Authority in America and they say, we got extra power, you want to buy some? And they go, we don't really need it. Well, we got extra power, we got to get rid of it somehow.
So okay, that's,
well,
how you
take it if you pay us.
You know, there was a car out in about I think 2000, not 2020, in 2000, GM, a car called Impact, which was battery powered, and they were testing them in California. They ran into brownouts because every night came home and plugged your car in, and these transformers didn't have a chance to rest overnight, and they ended up not producing as much power as they should have.
Okay, what is the population of California?
30,000.
30 million.
30 million.
I got a discount for Ford here.
What's the population of Canada?
30 million.
38 million.
Right, okay. So you have a situation there where they probably don't have excess power. Is that like... I don't know how much you guys know about, I didn't work at Darlington or anything, but electricity has to be used the instant it's created.
Oh.
Okay? So other than batteries and commercially and stuff like that, you don't have it. So when you plug in your toaster and it starts glowing, that electricity is generated that nanosecond. So the thing is, the turbines can't be just turned on and off like your TV.
It just keeps spinning.
They have to be spooled down, and it takes a while to spool them back up. So they like to keep them running at a steady RPM, just like a CVT transmission in a car. Like, so, mm-hmm. like a certain RPM where the sweet spot and the engine makes the power, best power and economical use. That's what they like to do with the turbines as well.
So you're saying that we will have enough of power when we need it?
Well, I'm no expert, but I think they would, because up here at nighttime, like when I worked at GM in Oshawa, when there was actually people working there, not just robots and skeletons, when I started there in 1983, there was almost 20,000 people working. Anyway, that's another story. But yes, at nighttime, when probably after 11 o'clock, that's why the rates are cheaper. So they got appliances, wow. all kinds of stuff that you can put on a timer. It comes on when the power is cheaper to do your wash and everything. The only thing you need is need a robot to take it from the washing machine to the dryer.
Great. Trevor, thanks for your call, buddy. We got some more calls to get to.
All right. Have a great day.
Appreciate
thanks.
It. All right.
Okay.
Fascinating information. So, in other words, we have enough power to operate these things. It just need enough receptacles to put it out there.
I don't think there's any problem with capacity. I mean, EVs, any kind of plug-in, is we're talking about single-digit.
Is it standardized? Are all the plugins the same in every machine? No, Tesla has its own, right?
Tesla has its own, and there is some variation, but I think that we're going to see some standardization soon.
We got a question that just came in for Gauguin. Where do you see Ford? People are asking, where is Ford leading the most in electric cars that are coming on the market?
So I think this starts with the Mustang Mach-E SUV for the end of the year. We've had the Fusion Energy. We've had a hybrid. We have an Escape hybrid in our showrooms now. We have an Explorer hybrid incoming. We have a Grand Touring Lincoln Aviator. So I think by 2021, you'll see an F-150, which will be probably our biggest seller, a big demand for that model.
And this person has a family of four. They're looking at getting into a new, like a hybrid kind of car. What would you recommend for them?
For a car, we only have the Fusion right now.
Okay.
But
is that being dialed out or is that staying?
It's being dialed out.
Being dialed out, replaced by the...
Last year of production on the Fusion and the MKZ hybrid.
There's been a turn down in cars and a buildup of SUVs. Everybody's all of a sudden discovered a hatchback.
That's right. Everybody wants to sit a little higher.
Yeah.
And that hit point of a lot of these crossovers are perfect. There's no, falling into the car and having to get out. You can sit in them easily. And, of course, with some of us who are getting older, it's certainly easier to get in and out of a crossover.
Yes, definitely. And you've got a bit enough. You had told me, 4,000 cars in stock?
We have between the three stores about 2,500.
Okay.
I also have an MKZ hybrid 2020 in my showroom now at the dealership.
Yeah. So egress and ingress and those things are important. You buy a car that doesn't fit you, you're never going to be happy.
Oh, that's absolutely
right?
True.
Because you're not sitting comfortably. They're saying that the dealerships this year are going to have a tough time. That they're predicting that it's going to be tougher to sell a car this year because the cars are so much better that people are not replacing them as fast as they used to.
The technology has definitely come a long way.
Yeah.
And last year saw, at least with Ford specifically, a 4% drop with the industry.
That's correct, yes.
Our numbers, believe it or not, were higher than 2018.
But so. You've got ads everywhere and you're promoting. Some of these prices are fantastic. Yeah. You don't have to even haggle. I mean,
it's called the Young Steel's Door Crasher.
Yes. And, I was looking at the ads about the trucks and Mustangs and stuff. Is this, how should I explain it to you, is... to remove a lot of product and then build up the service?
We're a big volume store. So we did 3,856 units last year, retail, commercial. So
that's more than some factories. Fascinating. Yeah, so I've been following it. And so you have a separate building for Lincoln.
Correct.
And you've got a separate building for Ford.
Well, it's separated by a wall. The buildings are joined.
That's a beautiful place.
One building, though.
And you've got your little car in the back there, keeping out of the snow.
We have a nice Ford GT for you in the showroom too.
There you go.
Yeah, I want to see him get out of that.
It's Ford. Not me, it's her.
Okay, right. No, but the other one we saw at the auto show, Gauguin, was, which one was it called, a Corsair?
Yes, that's the replacement model for the 19 MKC.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I think you drove that for a few days.
Yeah, squared off front end,
correct.
Very nice car.
I think, green. Brian, you may want to test drive that one.
Well, I've driven the MKC extensively, and the refresh on the Corsair it's actually pretty. And I think that the Lincoln line is one of the best designed lines.
But they got everything
today.
Covered.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
As a driver who test rides a lot of cars, what do you like most for the public to see for that Ford Lincoln?
So, to me, Lincolns are all about luxury. The driving experience is definitely luxurious. It's not pretending to be a sports car, and that's what I really love about Lincoln.
Okay, we got another half an hour to go with the show. Any car questions you have about what your car's up to or something new with Ford, give us a call. And we're going to give out that number to Young Steel's Ford Lincoln and probably Mark Silverman's number before the hour is out.
And we got an email from somebody who wants to know the difference in leasing and buying electric cars.
Stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Brian Mack sitting in along with Dave Redinger for Alan Gellman. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max. We're here with Gauguin Navani and Sameet Kapoor of Young Steel's Ford Lincoln. And we've got a question about leasing.
Yeah, the question
buying.
Was, should I lease or should I buy my next EV? And you should know that in the auto industry, less than 1% of the people out there pay actually cash. So leasing and buying are their only alternatives.
Sameet, what do you think about leasing or buying EVs?
See, in my opinion, EV is still a new technology. It's going to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, but it's true. If the car is going to be expensive, not a lot of people can afford to buy it cash, just up front. And my recommendation is to lease them. It's still a new concept. You go on a lease, try out the car. If you like it, you buy it. Maybe next round you have a little more trust on the EVs and you know where to charge. Network is a little better. You trust the EV technology in hard weathers, you know, long driving conditions. You can buy it. So leasing is the right way to go in the beginning, and then you can start financing. That's how the industry develops.
Interesting.
So is there a downside to leasing, i.e. You come back in and they pick the car apart for services, repairs, that sort of stuff, or you have a product to protect yourself from that?
Now, the only restriction I see in leasing is you cannot make any modifications to car and you have to keep your kilometers under control. Everything else is just like financing.
Good idea. Okay. There's a question I had for Gagan, which the industry is going through a disruptor phase, where they have people will buy and will sell you a car off the internet and deliver it to your house, right? Pretty strong in the U.S., where dealerships are actually combating the lack of facility because they've got gigantic facilities for service, they've got gigantic showrooms, and now these disruptors are coming in with the internet and trying to sell you cars like Caravana and all these different ones.
So we tried, it was called FordFi. It's online car buying.
Yes.
It didn't work the best for my store. I still, I'm old school too. I want to go see it, feel it, test drive it. That's what I tell all my staff when they come in, offer you a cup of coffee, make you comfortable, and take you out on a ride. You can't do all of that when you're buying a car online. So,
well, I love the line is buying a car while you're binge watching your favorite program.
I personally don't believe that model is going to work.
You see, and that's what they're counting on is this new market from the millennials who all of a sudden decided they're going to need a car after all because they're moving to Thornhill.
Right. But you can go on our website, you can place an order, you can get your financing, all of that done. I'm happy to deliver any customer his car. We offer that service anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's no different. But at least when you come into our showrooms now, we have all 2020 models on display. You want to, you know, get the full experience.
When you switch from a 2019 model to a 2020 model, is there a tough time getting rid of the 19s? Or
not with my three Ford stores. We were sold out by August 2019.
Fascinating.
Wow.
And so, I've seen pictures of the new truck, the 2021 truck. It's not much difference.
Yeah.
Different headlight. That's basically it.
So we predominantly sell before the market.
Interesting.
With our stores.
And you're a major seller of Ford. F-150 is your biggest seller.
So September, which was the end of employee pricing at Young & Steel, we did 622 units that month, 1 month.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's a year for some other deals. That's true.
I call it a production line in September.
You know, I see the numbers through Durocher.
Yeah.
And there's car lines that, like the Cadillac XT5, I think sold 273 cars.
So I'll share another statistic with you. Young & Steel in 2019 sold 78 Navigators. In 2016, sold 7.
Wow.
So we did 10x.
Of that line.
And I had to work very hard. It was all about getting allocation. So we would get 25. And then I fought my way through with, you know, Lincoln executives. And we did 78 Lincoln Navigators in 2019.
With this kind of, was a coronavirus. I like to call it the Molson Valleys because we're in Canada.
Because nobody's heard that line before.
But the reality is that's going to affect you?
It's going to affect all industries. I was with a friend of mine at dinner last night, and he has a furniture production plant in China.
Yes.
And he said the world is panicking because Walmart to Apple to Ford, a lot of these parts are manufactured in China.
Right.
So you have a 3 to 6 month kind of lag, but it's going to catch up fast.
Well, things like the airlines don't fly there anymore. They're not.
So they said the airlines are going to lose $29 billion because of their routes not flying to China.
Fascinating. So biggest seller is the truck?
F-150 is our number one seller. It's been for over 50 years.
And you're heavy into SUVs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the market has switched from cars to SUVs.
So the only SUV we're going to have after this year is the Mustang. I'm sorry, the car.
It will be the Mustang.
It'll be all SUVs.
Fascinating stuff. Okay, we have one segment left. So if you want to get in on the show, you're going to have to call in now. Look for the number on the break. come back. Sorry, we were going to be talking about Tesla has a recall for 15,000 cars. Where are you going to get them fixed? I don't know. There's only two stores.
That's right. That's right. That's a challenge.
Okay, we're back. This is our last segment. So if you do have a question and you don't get through, we will take it off air and give you a hand. Quick thing is Tesla is recalling 15,000 Model X crossovers because of potential issues with the power steering. Definitely not something I'd be very proud of driving. The problem for them is they don't have any service centers.
That's the thing. They don't have a distribution network. They don't have a retail presence. They don't have stores.
Yeah,
and they certainly don't have a lot of service facilities.
So we had a Freestar. There was something wrong with the back end. Dropped it off, and we got a car.
Absolutely.
The guy says, you know, no problem. Just drop it off, and away you go. So it's a different attitude toward recalls, right? I mean, put it this way, for a recall from you get to know your customer again.
Typical recalls with Ford, they give you a rental car. Whether you have an ESP or not, it's included. I'm not sure how Tesla is going to tackle. My guess is they're going to have to send texts to your home to cover that broader spectrum.
It's interesting because it's kind of the company still developing and it hasn't got all the loopholes. Are not all there.
And the consumer panics when it's 15,000 cars. It's,
correct.
That's a big number.
For Tesla, that's a very big number.
How do you look at a recall? I look at it as a product update. The company has enough balls to say, yeah, we did something wrong, let's fix it. And you get to get reintroduced to the clientele because they're coming back to your store. So you get fresh name and address and get serviced on other products while it's being serviced for a recall.
Right, but if you're saying there's two facilities and 15,000 units...
Yes.
I don't know how many hours go into that recall, but it's going to take them a few years to come out.
I would imagine so, yeah. I would imagine so.
And, you know, to me, this is what makes the products like the Mustang Mach-E more interesting because Ford has a network of stores across the country that can support
the Mach-E. Yeah, you're saying 80 stores in Ontario, and you have three of them.
Correct.
And yours are, like, in Toronto.
East-West Central. Number one, number two, number 10.
So it's a little easier to get in there, make an appointment, and away you go.
We service 100 cars a day at Young Steel Ford Lincoln.
Amazing numbers. Yeah. You still have Quick Lane?
We have it at the East Court location.
Yeah, right? So you still have Quick Lane. That's what you drive in. They do a service and change the oil in less than half an hour?
Correct.
You're in, you're out. And I've been down there several times, and the attitudes are great.
Awesome.
It's not like, what do you want? No. Go have a coffee and then we'll get it. It's a completely different attitude. I really like it. Does a good job. Mark Silverman's down there. He does a really nice job. Anything else you want to bring up that we haven't talked about?
We have 7 days left of 0% interest. So please come check out the Ford product. Definitely visit the Canadian Auto Show. See the Mach-E in flesh. It's a great show.
Yeah, it looks so much better in the real car as it does in the pictures.
It's beautiful blue.
Yeah, really sharp. And the other thing is that with a new car like that, everybody wants one. The prices are high. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, like guys will buy them and try and resell them.
Oh, it's already there.
It is, all right.
They're going to be selling their spots.
Fascinating. I know you guys have already, 9,500 trained techs already ready for the car. So whatever the electronics are, basically be the same on most of the models. So isn't that hard of a thing? It's fascinating stuff. Alrighty, Brian, what are you doing next?
Going to Los Angeles again to drive some AMGs.
Which are
Mercedes-Benz AMG SUVs, the GLE and GLS.
Okay.
Model. So I haven't driven those in quite a while, and these are the fast ones with the big motor. So I can't wait to drive those on some great roads in
that goes
Los
on
Angeles.
Your webpage.
That'll be on my YouTube channel.
And how many hits do you get on your
page? I don't know. We're near 10 million views total, I think.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's time maybe he gets his tush into one of the Mustangs.
Well, I just drove the...
The Corsair. Maybe try the Corsair.
I have to drive the Corsair. I'm looking forward to the Aviator, but the thing that really impressed me recently was the GT500 Mustang. 760 horsepower. The thing was brilliant.
What's the guy on television go?
That's pretty much what it sounds like. Yeah. Sameet, can I get that on 0% financing?
No. That's a premium product. I don't think Ford is going to offer you 0% on GT500s ever.
No, because there's if you can afford the gas, you can afford the payments.
Yeah, and, of course, Dave, you're right.
That's right. And I heard that GT500 is sold out until next year already.
And I heard that Sameet has been a new manager at your company.
That's correct.
So the cream does rise to the crop.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't... Ford Rookie of the Year for 2018.
Very good.
Well, my first year, I sold close to 279 new units.
You can open a dealership. You don't need them.
You decide. And then 2019, I ended up selling 315 units.
Wow.
Nice work.
Yep.
You have no idea what big numbers like that are. Like in real estate, the guy sells one house a year. Right? It's big numbers. Congratulations. So you're what, Young Steels?
Yes. So again, volume speaks for itself. I'm associated with the big three store.
Yes.
And for us, it's all about volume.
I think it's all about having it stock too. I mean, the guy comes in.
You need the inventory to sell it.
Yeah, you need the inventory. Yeah, I don't have the exact thing, but I got this that was so close that you can't sell
it. So our slogan is massive inventory equals massive discount.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's great.
I like that.
And Dave, you won't believe, in January, a lot of people came into our store looking for 2019 F-150s. And it's really hard to say, but we were sold out since October last year.
Big price difference between the two?
Yes, because 2020 is still new. So Ford is keeping all the money in the rate of interest and the less rebates. People are still looking for 19s. Unfortunately, all our stores, we ran out of 19 inventory.
So the two seasons of selling are March, April, May, and June. That's one. And then we go into August, September, the winter season, basically.
Correct.
Fall, winter. So the summer is quiet. That's a good time to come in and haggle.
Right? Our best season's employee pricing. So July, August, September, it's.
That's why they put it in there, too.
Exactly.
To move the product.
And believe it or not, those 3 months, Ford loses money when they sell these cars.
I didn't realize that. Fascinating. But what a comeback. I mean, from 2008 when they actually bet the brand.
Yeah.
They put their logo and everything up to raise money to make it work.
Yeah.
All righty. We're ready to go? We are. It's the end of the show.
End of the show.
I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And the email address is, again, what is the address?
Telephone number?
Well, how do we get in touch with you?
Sumit@ysfl.ca.
Yep, that's sumit@ysfl.ca.
YSF being
more important.
Yes, sir.
What is the website for you guys?
What is your website?
Again, same thing, ysfl.ca. Straight.
YSFL.ca.
Which is youngsteelfordlincoln.ca.
And Brian, your website?
Everything is my name. My last name is spelled MAKSE.
It's SE, not ES.
That happens.
I have to learn the hard way.
That happens all the time.
Alrighty. Thank you for joining us, gentlemen. That's a wrap. We'll see you back here next week. And remember to keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.